So we're starting a new series today called Dangerous Prayers, and we're going to sort of have a look at four. There's many more in the Bible, but we wanted to have a look at more. And what do we mean by that? Well, I think there's sometimes we say things, even sometimes we sing things as prayers, and I have to be honest, sometimes it takes my breath away of going, woof, I wonder if we realize the full significance of what we're saying. So now and again, we've sung a song by Hillsong called Oceans. Let me read you the bridge that gets repeated a lot within it. And I remember just watching it on the screen going, oh boy, God, if you answer that, this is dangerous, because you're going to lead us into places of out of our comfort zones and into places beyond what most of us are used to. So here's the words that a lot of us sing. And it's a dangerous song to sing. It's a good song, by the way, but it's a dangerous song to sing. Listen to this. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. I remember seeing those words up going, whoa. Like if we all mean that. I mean, God could do some incredible, wonderful things, but he would call us out of our comfort, and he would call us into the unknown. He would also call us into the really exciting and amazing and the adventure that he has for us. But I think there are prayers that we can pray that are dangerous in terms of if you want a safe life, if you want this comfort zone life, and you find yourself praying these prayers, then they're going to shake you up a little bit. And I think this is one of those prayers. Have your way. Have your way. And you'll see in the bulletin with a few others that are going to be there. Like, here am I, send me. There's other ones, search me. And we're going to be having a look at those and unpacking those in the weeks that are ahead. But today I want to have a look at this, have your way. And I sort of want to do it in a way. I've got my wee board. You're going to see some wonderful drawings, some artistic masterpieces today. And I'm not going to be too long, but I want to just provoke your thoughts a little bit. And as we go through our prayer journal this week, I would really encourage you just to consider some of the elements that we're saying tonight. And to be honest, you've already preached my sermon back to me. So a lot of the words that you've already said to me, I'm going to be saying back to you just in the structure that I have here. And hopefully we're challenged to just say, Lord, have your way, and to pray this. So the fact that we would say, Lord, have your way, suggests to us that God has a way, that God has a will. That God isn't passively sitting in heaven just saying, oh, well, just get on with it. And I'll, you know, if you're in trouble, give me a shout, okay? That's not what God's doing. I know we know that. God has a plan. God has a will. God has a desire. And I want to unpack that a little bit. I remember seeing this done, a preacher preaching it, and I remember thinking, that's really, really helpful. So I'm stealing it a wee bit, but then there's nothing new under the sun. Sure, there's not. Okay, so anything you've heard one of the brilliant preachers, they have nicked it off somebody else as well. So, but I remember seeing this, and hopefully this will give us a little bit of structure as we look at God's will and we look at asking God to have his way. So as we understand God's will and that God has a will, I want us to understand it in a way. Thank you, Ken. Let there be light. But we understand it in a number of different dimensions or a number of different ways. So the first way, and we're going to do three circles, okay? So the first way is this. This is the outer circle. Oh, dear, I can't even draw a circle. Okay, but you know what I mean. It's in and around, all right? And so this would be described, theologians would call this the works of God. Okay, excuse my terrible writing, and that's not meant to be there. Okay, so the works of God. Now, somebody had mentioned the fact that God is sovereign, okay? And that's absolutely true. The works of God, that doesn't look like an R, sure doesn't. Let's add that. Is that, okay. Yeah. So the works of God, okay? That God is sovereign, that there are things in terms of God's will that, listen, no matter what happens, God's going to do it anyway, okay? There is the sovereign will of God. So there are things that God will do and has done because he's God and he's allowed. Okay? The sovereign will of God. Let me give you a few examples of that. We'll get artistic and use a different color. Okay? So so a few examples of that is there we go. Creation. Okay? Nobody was going to stop God in terms of creation, sir. There weren't. Nobody was going to kind of go, oh, well, no, I don't think you should actually do that. God desired that he would create us. He spoke and creation came into being. He spoke and the world came into being. A few scriptures that even talk about how God interacts then with the creation that he has created. A few things. Psalm 115 verse 3 says this, but our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. Right? This is a God that we serve. He does whatever he pleases. So there are things that God can just do. He is just going to do them. He is going to achieve his will and nothing is going to stand in his way. If we had more time, we could unpack even the vision or the dream that he gives Nebuchadnezzar. And he shows Nebuchadnezzar of what is to come in Daniel chapter 2. And Daniel's able to tell Nebuchadnezzar what the dream is and actually the different empires that are going to arise after him. And it's like God, he sets up kings, he deposes them. God is sovereign over all things. So Job 9:12 says this, were he to snatch away, who could restrain him? Who could say to him, what are you doing? He's sovereign. There are things that God can and wants to do, and he will do. I've just quoted this, Daniel 2:21. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. So there are certain things that God, in his sovereign will, is just going to do. Obviously, there's a lot of debate around everything that goes into this particular thing, and we could debate all day long. But the truth is, God has sovereign will. And there are things that he will do and that he will achieve. One of those things was the cross. There was nothing going to stop Jesus from going to the cross. We know that Jesus wasn't put on the cross. We're coming close to Easter, but Jesus didn't go to the cross because people took a dislike to him. Jesus didn't go to the cross because Pilate was powerless to stop the crowds from shouting, crucify him. Jesus didn't go to the cross because Satan put him there. Jesus went to the cross because it was the sovereign will of God. It's recorded 700 years previous in Isaiah chapter 53 of the suffering servant that's exactly what he was to do, that he was to go to the cross. And nothing was going to stop Jesus from coming and going to the cross, and nothing could stop him rising again. Amen. The sovereign will of God. And so that we keep on our seas, always good, nothing can stop his coming. I'm going to put in there a second. Nobody could stop his first coming. Nobody's going to stop his second coming. Right? Nobody's going to be able to stop that. It's his sovereign will. He's coming again, and we can celebrate in that. So I don't want to spend too much time. We could spend a whole sermon on that, okay, looking at the sovereign will of God and everything that goes into it. But the works of God, he is sovereign. So God is sovereign. So whenever we're praying, Lord, have your way, have your way, what are we doing in regards of this part of God's will? God's got a will. His sovereign will. What are we doing? Well, number one, I think we're recognizing. We're recognizing that God has a plan and that he is Lord. We've been recognizing that today. Who shakes the nations? Who rules the nations? And we've been saying, well, it's the King of Glory. It's Jesus. It's God. He rules the nations. We are recognizing today. And whenever we say, God, have your way, we're recognizing that he's Lord over all, that he has a sovereign will, and we are recognizing that today. In our lives, his sovereign will over all of creation, his sovereign will in regards of the cross and his second coming. But we're also recognizing it in regards of us. God, have your way. Well, I know you're sovereign over my life, that you have a purpose and that you have a plan, that you, God, you're not passively sitting up there, but you also want me to recognize and live in and walk in your rule and your reign. Do you know what we sing? Things like, reign in me, sovereign Lord, reign in me, or Jesus, we enthrone you. What we're saying is, God, have your way. Let us step in to who you are and to the things that you have for us. The works of God, the sovereignty of God, recognizing that he is in control, recognizing that he is Lord and that we should accept that, that he is God. And so often, you know, we can present the Christian message of, come to Jesus and he'll make everything good for you. Come to Jesus and he'll do all. And listen, you come to Jesus and Jesus does amazing things for your life. But ultimately, the message of the gospel is Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to bow the knee or are you going to turn and rebel against that? And so whenever we say, God, have your way, we're recognizing the rulership and the lordship of Christ. Do you know, whenever I would maybe chat to people, and I was chatting to someone not so long ago, someone who hadn't really been walking with God at all, and most of their problems came because they hadn't recognized that God was Lord over all. They were living their own life, doing their own thing, going their own way, and they weren't recognizing that he was the sovereign Lord over all. Lord, have your way. So it's recognizing, and it's also celebrating. Recognizing in regards of saying, do you know what, Lord? Be in the driver's seat. Be in the driver's seat. Take us the way that you want us to go. But also celebrating. Celebrating that he is in control. That even the things that try to harm us, and this is a really encouraging part of this truth, that even the things that come against us, even the things that try to pull us down and destroy us and discourage us, God, because he's the sovereign Lord, he's able to turn those things around so that his will and his plan can be accomplished. In Genesis 50, verse 20, we know that scripture so well that Joseph, he says to his brothers, you intended all that happened to me for harm, but God intended it for good. And whenever we recognize the sovereignty of God, it means that every circumstance, it means that every situation, good, bad, indifferent, mediocre, awful, horrible, whatever it might be, we can recognize that God and his sovereignty can redeem it, turn it around, and still accomplish his will. We can recognize that even if we have messed up big time, we've made mistakes along the way and taken lots of detours, that God is still in control. And God can still have his way because he's sovereign. That just because we've deviated or because someone else came in and caused us to deviate, that God can still have his way. So I find that encouraging. I find that something that's really worth celebrating tonight. Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things God works together, all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. All things, not just a couple of things. Not just the good things, not just the stuff that was worth celebrating, but all things. So we recognize that he is in control. We recognize that he should be in the driver's seat. We recognize that he is Lord over all things. We recognize, and somebody talked about the potter and the clay, and that's exactly one of the things I had there. And I was talking to someone not so long ago, and I was saying to them, you know, he's the creator, he's created you. He's made you a particular way because he has good purposes and plans for you. But the best thing you can do is to submit yourself into his hands, is to allow him to shape you and achieve his will and his purposes for your life. So we see the works of God and we say, God, have your way. Sovereign Lord, reign in me. Jesus, we enthrone you. We proclaim you our king. And we're probably going to sing that at the end again. And we're just going to say, Lord, we want to proclaim you as king over our lives, as Lord over our lives. And as we pray this week, we're saying, you're king, you're Lord, you rule. So that's the first circle. Okay, you'll be patient with me with the idea of the circle anyway. It looks more like an apple or something, doesn't it? Okay. But then there's another one, okay? Oh boy, that's even worse. Okay, but you get where I'm going, don't you? Okay, so this one is the ways of God. Very hard to write on that, I'm shaking. The ways of God. So a lot of people go, oh, what's God's will for my life? How do I know what God wants to do in my life? How do I know? Well, we start by making him Lord of our lives, by recognizing and celebrating that he's sovereign over all. We submit to him. We go, Lord, you're over all. And then we start to walk in his ways. The ways of God. God has revealed to us the way that he wants us to live. God's revealed stuff to us. And he's not hiding it from us, but he's revealed many, many things. Now, I want to encourage you to get your Bible out or your iPad or whatever it is that you follow, because we're going to read quite a few scriptures here. But God in his word has revealed to us his ways. He's revealed to us things that we need to walk in and live in. And so go to Exodus 20. We see the Ten Commandments. So, Lord, what should I do in this situation? What should I do in that situation? Well, we find so often that he's already revealed certainly the rights and the wrongs. And I'm going to read this to you, okay? I'm going to read most of these scriptures to you. And God spoke all these things and all these words. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son, your daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in the 6 days of the Lord created the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or a donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And so already we're starting to go, well, God, you've revealed some of your ways. We know some of the things, your will is that we walk in these ways. Your will is that we do some of these things. And we also have these in the New Testament. So go to Matthew 22. These are just a couple of examples that I've picked out. Matthew 22, 37 to 39. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So we know the will of God. What's God's will for us? To love God and love your neighbor. That's the will of God for our lives. Luke 6, 27 to 31. But I tell you, you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Challenging words, but again, God's revealed way. Flick back, if you will, to Matthew 28. And verse 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. What's your will for our lives, Lord? Well, we're hearing God's will for our lives. You could actually go home tonight and go, I heard God's will for my life tonight. Because you're hearing it as I'm reading it. Does that make sense? God's ways. Let me give you a few others where there's challenges to Christians as they try to live out their Christian faith. Ephesians 4, 25 and following. God, how should I live my life? Lord, what things should I do? What is your will for my life? Well, from verse 25, it says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. For we are all members of one body, and your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgive you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And so on. Let me give you one more. Colossians 3, verses 5 and following. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So what's God's will for my life? Well, there's a lot of it that's revealed in here. God's ways, the revealed will of God. There's so many other bits and pieces, but we know so often we're asking questions about, should I be doing this, should I be doing that? And God's will has revealed, God's ways are revealed that, no, you shouldn't do this. No, there's certain ways that you live. There's certain things that we should or shouldn't do. As people of God, there's a challenge that comes. And so what are we saying in regards of the ways of God when we're saying, have your way, Lord? Have your way. Well, what we're saying is, Lord, I choose to obey and walk in your way. I choose to obey and walk in your way. See, obedience means that we choose to, rather than do our own thing and choose our own priorities and live the way that we want to live, that we fall under the rulership and the will of God. And so for some of us this week, as we pray, have your way, God's going to reveal some of these things that are out of line within our lives. Some of things that are out of line with his ways, some things that we need to correct and are outside of the things that he has revealed that are best for us and bring glory to him. And so there needs to be obedience. You see, the word of God, I remember hearing this quote, and I thought it was really, really powerful. And somebody said, we need to understand the word of God is an anvil, not a cotton bud. It's an anvil and not a cotton bud. And what they were trying to say was, it's not just something that we tickle ourselves with, but it's something that we put ourselves on and we are shaped by. That we change. That's the thing about the anvil, isn't it? It stays the same, but that which is put on it, it changes shape. And that's what we're saying when we're saying, have your way, Lord. Lord, I want to obey your ways. I want to walk in your way. Have your way means allowing the word of God to be that anvil on which we're shaped. One final one. We won't be too long with this. See if we can get a circle this time. Best one yet. Best one yet. Okay. Now, what we're going to call this is just the will of God, okay? But what we mean by this is the personal will of God. And I don't mean God's person, God's will for our lives. Okay, because there's loads of questions then that we have, don't we? Loads of things that we go through. So should I move house or should I stay in the house that I'm in? I've got an opportunity to take up another job. Should I take that or should I stay in the job that I'm in? And they're not choices that we're talking here about right and wrong. We're talking about choices of what God wants within our lives. The personal will of God for our lives. You see, the truth is, and forgive me for going on about this, but I'm not going to ask for your forgiveness because I'm going to go on about it. God has a plan for your life. God has a personal plan for your life. God's not just playing zonal, right, and hoping somebody will turn up and do it. God's got a plan for your life. As much as he has a plan for my life, Psalm 139, I mean, we should memorize this. Maybe we'll do that next year. We'll just try and memorize a few scriptures, and that could be one. You'll like that, Stephen. It's your favorite. But one of the verses in there, I think it's verse 15 or 16, and it says there, all the days ordained for me are already written in your book. God's got a purpose and a plan for my life. Ephesians 2:10, help me out, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which Christ has prepared in advance for us to do. God's got a plan for your life and for my life. He has a purpose. He has something that he wants to achieve. We're talking yesterday, I think, with Cara, and she was talking to her Aunt Steph about something she has in her room, and she's got her baptismal promise, which is Jeremiah 1:5. And it was before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, I set you apart. I'd set you apart, and that's the truth for each one of us, that God has set us apart because he's got a purpose and a plan for our lives. And so what are we saying whenever we're saying to God, have your way? Well, we're saying, Lord, have your way in my life. You see, I had desires and things that I wanted to do, right? You'd probably laugh at this now, looking at me. You know, you'd think, my goodness, I'm glad you weren't. If you were coming to save me, I'd be in trouble. I wanted to be in the fire service, right? I was a lot slimmer, fitter. I really was really keen to join the fire service. And actually, whenever we were worshiping, I was thinking about this. And we went away. We got involved in our worship team in the Ulster Temple in Belfast. And a few of us actually went away to Luton. It was like a foreign field trip for a lot of us, you know. It was like away over to Luton. And we stayed in this pastor's house, and we went to a conference that was put on by Integrity Music. And here's one for the oldies. The young people will go, who? But Ron Canole. Anybody remember Ron Canole? Okay, so we were going to see Ron Canole, and we got the opportunity to be in a concert with him. But in the middle of it, he spoke. And at that time, he had this song called I See the Lord from Isaiah 6. And I had all these desires. I had sort of was taking a year out. I'd studied business and finance, discovered that wasn't for me. Really wanted and was getting fit to hopefully join the fire service. And had a few wee inside men that if I got through the fitness and I got through the interview, I was really well set up. I really was. And that was really what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. And yet I'm standing in this conference in Luton, and Ron Canole starts to speak about Isaiah 6 and the need. And this, and I can't even remember everything he said, but I just remember this overwhelming sense of God saying, will you serve me? Will you give your life to me? Will you give everything to me? And I remember just standing there, and I just didn't care who was near me, and I just was like, God, I'm yours. I'm absolutely yours. And from there on, then went to Bible college, and other things happened from then. Have your way. Now, I know that's not going to be the story for everybody, but what is it? Have your way. Have your way in my life. God, why have you put me on this planet? Why have you put me on this earth? Have your way. And listen, sometimes God having his way in our lives and the purpose and the plan, sometimes it's not the easiest route. Sometimes it's not the most comfortable journey, but we can always be assured that he's in it. And I'd rather behold Father God's hand in the midst of the storm than I'm in Barbados without him. I don't know about you guys, that's certainly what I would rather have for you, thinking, Barbados sounds good. Have your way, Lord. Praying have your way, like the Lord's Prayer. And what we're called to say in there, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. We think about Mary. I got that excited in my introduction. I forgot to talk about actually where that prayer was prayed, didn't I? I didn't actually give you those scriptures for Mary and Jesus. Sure, I didn't. I'm so sorry. Okay, Luke chapter 1. But it's a good point to come in. Okay. Should have said nothing and you would have thought it was all part of the plan. Luke 1. And let me check my notes. It's verse 38. Luke 1, verse 38. And this teenage girl, the angel turns up, says, you're going to have a child. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. You're going to have this child, and you're going to call him Jesus. And she's going to be the mother of the Most High God. That's absolutely incredible. And so in Luke 1, verse 38, we see Mary's prayer, Mary's response back. And she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Have your way. Like, this was not an easy road for Mary. This was not going to be the easy thing for a teenage girl to just totally say, whatever it is you want, God, I just submit and surrender to that. But yet Mary, standing in front of the revelation of what God asked her to do, said, have your way. Have your way. We think of Jesus in Luke 22 and verse 42. So go on to Luke 22, verse 42. And I'm nearly done. But it says there, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. Sorry, Luke 22, 42, that was 44. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. What's he saying? Have your way. Have your way. And this week as we come to pray, may we pray, have your way, Lord. Have your way. And what are we saying? Well, number one, we're saying, God, I seek your way. Matthew 6, verse 33 reminds us, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To seek first. So God, I seek your will out for my life. Not just what you want or what I want to do, not just the plan that I'm trying to make or the path that I'm trying to cut for myself, but Lord, have your way in the decisions that I'm making, in the plans that I'm trying to make. God, have your way. God, I've got a surrendered heart and I want to walk in your way. So I seek your way. We also then surrender. We're saying, have your way. I surrender my life all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. God, everything that I am, everything that I have, what is it in Jesus, all for Jesus, all of my ambitions, hopes, and plans. God, everything that I've dreamed about and want, I just surrender that to you. Have your way in my life, Lord. Have your way. Whatever that means, have your way. So even when it's tough, Lord, have your way. Even when I don't fully understand, Lord, have your way. We're saying, God, it's your plans and not mine. And then whenever God has his way, then we get to enter into the adventure and the purposes and the plans that he has for us. Because it's not always, I know I'm talking about he leads us out of our comfort zones, he leads us. Yes, he does, but he leads us into the immeasurably more than we could ever think or ask or imagine. He leads us into a life that we could never have dreamt of or dreamed about. He leads us into more. That's who he is, but we have to surrender. Have your way. And finally, what does it mean to say have your way in terms of his will? It means, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. Even when I don't understand what's going to be right in front of me, even when I don't understand where exactly you're leading me or not, I don't know five steps ahead. I just know you've told me to take this one. But I trust you. I trust that you're in control. I trust that you're the sovereign God who is in control of all things. I trust as I walk in your ways that you will lead me and guide me and direct me. God, I trust you. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Trust in him. So what does it mean to say, have your way? Well, I took the long way to answering what you've already said back to me. What does it mean? Well, it means I will recognize and celebrate that Jesus is Lord. It means that I will obey and walk in your ways, Lord. It means I will seek, surrender to, and trust your will. Can we stand together? Could we just sing that, "We Jesus, we enthrone you"? And as we sing, "Jesus, we enthrone you," we're doing these things. We're saying, God, have your way. I will recognize and celebrate that you are Lord. I will obey and walk in your ways. I will seek, surrender to, and trust you in everything. So, Lord, as we enter this week, Father, may we pray this dangerous prayer. May we pray this prayer that could potentially change our lives, change the future that otherwise we would have had. Lord, make a difference, Lord, not just in us, but in our families. Make a difference in our communities, in the world that we live in. Lord God, and we pray, have your way. And as we pray, have your way this week, Lord, would you change us? Would you help us to recognize and celebrate that you and you alone are Lord? That you're the sovereign God over all of creation. Lord, as we say, have your way, Lord God, may we choose to obey and walk in your ways. And where, Lord, our lives don't match up to your revealed way, Lord, would you allow us to lay our lives on the anvil of your word and of your revealed heart, and that we would shift and change so that you could have your way in us. And Father, when we pray, have your way, may we seek your kingdom first. May we run after you. May we surrender all of our ambitions, our hopes and plans. May we lay them at your feet, Lord, and decide to serve you. And may we trust in you even when that leads us into the unknown. Even when that leads us to the place where our trust is without borders. And Lord, we're called beyond what we ever thought was imaginable. Father, we say today, have your way. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we enthrone you.